You ever said, man, if I had enough money, I wouldn't have any problems? That's a lie, isn't it? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, let's look at verse 10. As we begin with that verse, you'll notice the title, The Hazards of Wealth. The Hazards of Wealth. Well, let's begin with verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied. You might want to underline that short phrase, will not be satisfied. In other words, will never have enough as far as this individual is concerned. Nor he who loves abundance with its gain. This too is vanity, it is emptiness, it is meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. In other words, the more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what advantage is it there to their owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a working man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach, greed, of the rich who hungers for even more will not let him sleep. Number one, is it wrong to have money? The answer is no. And here's a little side note. The ability to earn money is God's gift to us. The ability to earn money is God's gift to us. Well, let's look at number two. Is it wrong to love money? The answer is yes. And I have some things in my notebook that you don't have, so this will give us a little more of a perspective. Here we go. Number one, do you treat money as though it were a god? Do you treat money as though it were a god? Number two, do you love money? Number three, do you make sacrifices for it? Number four, do you think money can do anything? Are your lives, number five, controlled by getting money and guarding money? Number six, do you know the human heart was made to be satisfied only by the living God and nothing else? Number seven, how do you put money in its place? A, acknowledge that God owns everything. God is creator, He is owner, He is provider, He is sustainer of all creation. B, see yourself as God's steward or God's assistant. C, love God and not money. D, be a generous person with your money. Give as God guides you to give, and also spend God's money wisely. Well, here's point one. One of the most dangerous spiritual hazards is the love of money. So what are the dangers of loving money? Number one, turning away from God. When you turn away from God, what are you actually turning away from? I said it in my prayer a while ago, and I'll repeat it. When you turn away from God, then who is God? He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present. He's all-sufficient. So when you turn away from God, you're turning away from these characteristics of God that are so powerful in the life of the believer, the Christian, in Jesus Christ. Secondly, you're going to neglect your family. That's one of the dangers of loving money. You're so concerned about making it, you're going to neglect your family. What is the most important thing about family that God has given you? It is introducing them to Christianity. It is introducing them to Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior. All right? Number three, what are the dangers of loving money? Personal pride. Listen to this. Thank God instead of patting yourself on the back. Let me go to another one. Then, number four, there is social pride. Social pride. Only associating with wealthy or powerful people. We call that in East Texas brown nosing. Okay? Really, really brown nosing and having your nose up like that. Because if I associate with you, maybe I can get some money out of you. There again, money cannot do for you or for me what God can do for you or for me. Then there's number five, there's spiritual pride. Listen to this one. God blessed me with wealth because I am more devout
faithful or better loved by God than others, you have a big problem with pride in your life. Well, number six is selfishness. You become very selfish. Number seven is dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. And then number eight, trusting in riches instead of God. Now let's go back to the printout here as we're putting this thing together in reference to riches. All right. Now, number three, is the material at any time more important than the spiritual? The answer is no. Number four, the accumulation of wealth usually means the accumulation of stuff, resulting in a lack of sleep. When you hoard, you become a slave to your stuff. Your nice garage intended for your car becomes a place of stuff, and therefore you have no more room for your vehicle at all. Well, look at verses 13 through 17. 13 through 17, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Here we go, verse 13. There is another serious problem I have seen under the sun, Solomon says. Hoarding riches harms the saver. Money is put into risky investments that turn sour, and everything is lost. In the end, there is nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty, handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than when they came. All their hard work is for nothing, like working for the wind. Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and very, very angry. Well, let's look at number one under that on your printout. Poor decisions about money affect the next generation. Take this side note, please. Do not elevate fools to positions of leadership. Do not elevate fools to positions of leadership. You might want to write under that Joe Biden and his administration. He has been elected. He is foolish with the money of America. His administration is foolish with the money of America. He is empty-headed. He knows nothing about what he is doing. And I pray that God is going to turn this around in 2022. Well, number two, money is a tool to be used. A tool to be used. If money is a tool to be used, and it is, don't you think we need to pray and ask God how He wants to use this money He has entrusted to us as good stewards? I think so. So money is a tool to be used, not a God to be worshipped. Many people have died miserable, although they possessed all the world had to offer. Point one, in the end, the number of suits or dresses in your closet won't matter. On your deathbed, you won't be bragging about all of your cars. What's going to matter is the spiritual legacy you left behind for others, and the heavenly investments you forwarded ahead. The spiritual must always trump the material. Now, we've been talking about money, what to do with money. And I thought you might want to know how to multiply your money. You'll notice the title here is How to Multiply Bread. Let's begin reading this. Jesus is ministering to a multitude of thousands. Underline the word thousands. We're talking about 24,000 plus people here. The people were hungry and had virtually no food. Only two fish and five loaves of bread. He, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the Son of the living God, the hypostatic union, took the five loaves and the two fish. And looking up to heaven, underline that phrase, looking up to heaven. Where is the source of your blessings? Where is the source going to come for your provisions? It's all going to come from the living God. And where is the living God? He is up there in the third heaven. So therefore, Jesus is going to illustrate something for us that we need to do ourselves. Even as Baptists, it is okay to raise your hands unto God. It is okay to look up into the heavens, looking into the face of the Heavenly Father. He gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to give to the multitudes. And they all ate and were filled. And the disciples collected 12 baskets of leftover pieces. It is called the miracle of multiplication, or supernatural multiplication, or supernatural intervention. Starting with just 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, they fed over 24,000 people. Now go to page 2, if you will. You'll notice question at the top of page 2. Now how did he, Jesus Christ, perform that miracle? A, looking up to heaven. So how do you want to begin your prayer if you're going to imitate Jesus Christ? You're going to do exactly what he did. He looked up to heaven. He's looking into the Father's face. He's looking to him because he knows where his provision is going to come from. So looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. What did he give thanks for? Insufficiency. He gave thanks for insufficiency. What looked like to you and to me, it was not near enough to feed over 24,000 people. So looking up to heaven, he gave thanks for insufficiency, broke them, and gave them to his disciples. He gave thanks, and the miracle happened. I'll repeat that to good old Baptist. He gave thanks, and the miracle happened. Do you have enough of Christ in you to give thanks and expect the same kind of miracle to happen in your life? I'll ask you, maybe you do need a miracle. Maybe there's something taking place in your life that you can't handle, you can't provide for. You need supernatural intervention. You need the hand of God. You need the power of Almighty God. Are you willing, as Southern Baptists, I'm saying this because a lot of Baptists today say, you know, Terry, I just can't get into that. I believe that's Church of God. I believe that is Assembly of God, and I'm just not going to get into it. Why not? Why not? Are you willing to open the palms of your hands unto Jesus Christ to give you what is more than sufficient for the hardship, the adversity, the trials that you are going through? I don't know about you, but I'll tell you about me. I am willing to do what Jesus did, because this Jesus that we're reading about, this Jesus of the Bible, is the same Jesus that is living on the inside of you if you are truly a child of the living God. So since this Jesus is on the inside of you, what do you think he wants you to do? He wants you to follow the example that he has set for every child of the living God. He's saying, get out of your little bitty box. Get out of your little bitty mind and open up to the power of Almighty God. It's going to take belief. It's going to take faith. It's going to take great expectation that God can really do what I just read. My friends, if you want your life opened up, let Jesus be Lord. Let Jesus be master of your life and learn to pray as Jesus did. Let's go back to the printout. Looking up to heaven. That's the source. That's where it's all originated. That's where it's all going to come from. He gave thanks for what? Insufficiency. Broke them and gave them to his disciples. He gave thanks and the miracle happened. That's the secret. That's the key to miracles, is giving thanks. Hang with me. B, giving thanks is crucial to a life of fullness and a life of blessing. It also gives you the power to perform the miracle of multiplication. Here is C, by what Jesus did. By what Jesus did. You don't look at how little you have. How many, how often do we look at how little we have, then we get depressed, then Satan goes to work in our lives telling us, well, that's just tough. That's the way it's going to be. And so just cry your little eyes out, because that's what I want you to do. I want you to have unbelief in your life. You know what? I pray this prayer more all the time. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because my unbelief can get overwhelmingly large in my life in a situation that I'm dealing with, and I need the power of God to come and take control of it. All right, here we go. C, by what Jesus did, you don't look at how little you have or how big your problem is or how impossible the situation is. Is there anything that is impossible with the Lord Jesus Christ? Good. Do you live that way? Do you pray that way? Brother, lift up your hands unto the living Lord Jesus Christ, believing that nothing is impossible with Him, and do what Jesus did and expect the same results. Here we go. You don't panic. You don't complain. And you don't get discouraged over not having enough. You take the little you have, whatever good there is. Stop right there. Let's just say you're having difficulty in your marriage, in your finances, and you say, you know, there's not much here to work with. I beg your pardon. If there is just a pinch of something good to work with, that is all that is needed for Jesus Christ to go to work in your life. You say, well, Terry, there's really nothing in there. Yes, there is. Jesus Christ can make something that was dead come alive again. There can be a rattling of dry bones in your life if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. He can take what is dead and put what? Internal life into it, and put the life that He is, and the light that He is goes right into it. Don't tell me you can't change. Don't tell me something can't be fixed. You know what you're saying? I don't think it can. I don't believe it can. My Bible says Jesus Christ can do anything because Jesus Christ is the living God. And He is creator and owner and provider of all that exists and that is never ever going to change. Wake up, Baptist! And on TV, now they're trying to tell you, woke, we're going to do away with Valentine's Day. We're going to do away with Halloween. Guess what's next? It's called Christmas. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Easter. We're going to celebrate Valentine's Day. We're going to celebrate Halloween. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. The only thing wrong is that people in America are not standing up to them. Stand up to the bully, and the bully will back off. I promise you that. So if you want to have Valentine's, have it here. If you want to have Christmas, we're going to have it here. Thanksgiving, we're going to have it here. We're going to celebrate anything, and we're not going to stop what we've been doing all these years and what has been in existence. I'm sick and tired of people laying down and being walked on. It is time you get the Word of God and say, thus saith the Lord. Woke is nothing in the face of Almighty God and the power of the living Word of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. So you don't panic. Why do you panic when you have Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? You don't complain. Complain about what? Is there anything He can't do? Mm-mm. And you don't get discouraged over not having enough. If you don't have enough, listen closely, it's your fault. If you don't have enough, it's your fault. You take the little you have, whatever good there is, no matter how small or inadequate it is. I thank God every day for my inadequacy. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for letting me know that Terry Davis is not adequate enough to get up here and preach to you and communicate to you the Word of the living God. It all comes from God, or it doesn't come at all. You take the little you have, whatever good there is, no matter how small or inadequate it is, and you do what Jesus did. You lift it up to the Lord. You lift it up to the Lord and you give thanks for it. And the blessings you have will multiply. Did not this happen with the feeding of the thousands? Exactly. So what? The more you give thanks, the less you will hunger. And the more full and blessed your life will be. Let me tell you something. When you decide to jump into Christianity with both feet and get wet over your head, then you're going to find out what Jesus Christ is really all about. And the things He can do in your life, if you're willing to give them, I'm talking about really giving them unto the living God. And back off and say, God, help me keep my hands out of it. Help me keep my finite mind, as limited as it is, out of it. Just keep me away so You can do the work that You are capable of doing. And Lord, help my belief to grow and overwhelm the unbelief that is in me. Whatever you have, no matter how much or how little, give thanks. Give thanks even for what is not enough, and it will multiply to become what is enough. And what is more than enough? Point two, stop seeking more and stop living in the realm of not enough. What do you seek that you don't need to seek? And are you living in the realm of not enough? Poor, pitiful me? Let me tell you something, that's embarrassing for a Christian to say that in the presence of Almighty God. I'm living in the realm of not enough. Why is that happening? Do not you believe the Word of the living God? Is not this Jesus still alive? Is not this Jesus Christ living on the inside of you? We've gone over that. If you are a child of God, do you realize what you have available to you? What Jesus Christ has made available? What He wants to do through you? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? We learned this Wednesday night. Listen, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are a distributor. And if you're going to be a distributor, and guess what a disciple is also? He's an image bearer. As a child of God, you are to what? Bear the image of Almighty God. And as a disciple of Christ, you are to be a distributor. Brother, don't walk up to me with tears in your eyes and complaining and whining and moaning and say, well, it might work and it might not work. Brother, if you can't get over that, you don't need to be a distributor of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. We're getting there? Good. Point two. Stop seeking more and stop living in the realm of not enough. That is Satan's territory. Get out of it. A. Begin today practicing giving thanks for everything and in everything. You got it? That's a good formula. Hold on to it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to who? Why do you give thanks to God? Because He can do something about it. For this is the will of God. This is what God wants. It is established by divine decree. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Always thank God for His grace to help face difficult circumstances. For the only way we can constantly give thanks and rejoice is by knowing that God is working something out in our lives. That's probably the most important phrase that I said. You'll quit your whining and moaning and groaning. It may look really bad to you. But Jeff, is that Romans 8:28? I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you stand up and read that verse? Just, you got a good voice on you. I want you to listen to it. Romans 8:28. You might want to turn there, and you should have it marked in your Bibles while he's turning to it. I can quote it, but those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Did you get the two things? If you don't love God, and if you don't accept the call of God on your life, it don't work. You think that's probably the problem today? All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. It's conditional. And are called according to His purpose. What would be changing in your life right now if Romans 8:28 was actually real in your life? Maybe you haven't accepted His calling. Maybe you don't love Him like you ought to. But I believe Romans 8:28 calls it the Word of the living God. And I believe if you and I will take that seriously into our hearts and into our prayer and say, Holy Spirit, the divine enabler in me, I want you to take Romans 8:28. I want to start living by it. Because I want you to do in my life what you can do. I've read it at the feeding of the thousands. And I'd like to be one of those thousands that's a recipient of the power and the compassion of my Almighty God. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us for reading too fast in the Bible. Forgive us for reading and we accept it as Your word, but yet we don't put it into practice as Your word. We say we believe it, but we try to make things happen on our own. You see, we're used to handling things. Jesus said, get your hands off of it. If you want to do something with your hands, Jesus said, lift them up to me, because what you're saying is, I'm going to do it. Jesus is going to do this. And I promise you, when you obey, when you decide to obey the Word of God in your life, then what we've been reading on the pages of the Bible is going to come alive in your life. This is not health, wealth, and prosperity, teaching or preaching or prayer. It's just letting the Word be the Word and let Jesus be the Lord. Let them receive it. Let those that need it, and we all need it, receive it. That we may get excited And that we will be like the disciples. We'll be distributors of the provision and the blessings and the power of Almighty God. As we should be. In Jesus' name we pray these things. All for His glory and our blessing and the blessing of others. Amen and amen. Let's stand.